Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 111 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how has your week before Halloween been?
My week before Halloween has been great. I got to go to a friend had a Beetlejuice-themed wedding at a drive-in movie theater, so that's pretty awesome. I did get to spend a day in the theme parks. I decided to go to Animal Kingdom and see what would happen if I used the free Disney Genie service and just tried to follow its plan for me for the day.
Oh, God.
Did not go well. spoiler alert, you can look that one up on theunofficialguides.com. But yeah, you might not want to rely on the free Disney Genie to guide you through your day quite yet. But, you know, most of my week was stressing about my my Halloween costume. I love Halloween and all the things that go with Halloween, except dressing up myself. Too many years of performing in too many shows, and, you know, I'm over it. But this year, I think I found a good Halloween costume. I've got to go to a Jurassic Park-themed Halloween party tonight. So I am going as, drumroll please, Dr. Ian Malcolm, circa Jurassic Fallen Kingdom, because all I have to do is wear a black suit and a tie and be really smug, and boom, instant costume for me.
Do it's your perfect. Best yeah. Jeff Goldblum impression.
Exactly. It's not hard. I just have to randomly pour water on the hands of pretty women and, you know, hopefully not get punched in the face, because that's not cool anymore.
No.
Not cool. So how was your week?
My week has been good. I am not dressing up for Halloween. I just
good for you.
Yeah. If I were though, I wanted to do Sabeok from Squid Game.
I sat down and finally watched the first episode. Have not dragged myself to watch the second yet. The first episode kind of made me feel not happy.
Yeah, you know, it's rough.
It's not a cheerful show to watch. No,
it's certainly not.
But visually amazing.
Yes.
That one shot of them all spiraling up that M.C. Escher-style Barbie house. Some really amazing visuals there. So yeah. I'm gonna try to keep working through. I'm watching just it with the subtitles in with the Korean language. So
good.
Which. Hey, for those of you who have not watched that in the original Korean, who just watched the English dub, did you realize the guy who's running everything is speaking in English while everyone else is speaking in Korean? Because I don't know if a lot of people got that bit.
I remember Josh pointing that out while we were watching it. He was like, why is he speaking in
English? Exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't have to. I guess for the sake of the VIPs, but they don't get introduced until later.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler, just so you know. but this week was just kind of working, and I've been working on The Office, and then I went to go see Last Night in Soho in 35mm on Thursday.
So jealous.
Which was delicious. If you can see it on film, please go see it on film. Just because it really adds to the like 1960s, 70s color palette. And the whole like aesthetic of the film, it feels more genuine on film instead of digital. But I really enjoyed it. It is extremely rough. So if you are sensitive, especially to like violence or just general tension, and anxiety, maybe don't go watch it. But if you are
your man has no fingernails left today.
No, he was peeling his fingernails off in the seat next to me because he was so stressed. But if you're really into like Italian horror giallo kind of thing, you'll really like it.
Nice.
Yes. But that was what I did this week. And without any further ado, let's get into the news.
Yeah.
a bit of a surprise to start off this week. Ringling Brothers has announced, kind of not really, but it's being said that they will return in 2023 with no animals as part of the greatest show on earth.
Yeah, this really came out of nowhere. I've been a longtime fan of the circus since I was a little kid. I've gone out to Feld's facility where they develop all of the shows. I even a couple times walked with the elephants when they unload them off the train and have to walk them all the way through town in order to get to their arenas. You know, I've been keeping my ear to the ground, and I haven't seen anything official come out of Ringling about this, or out of Feld, which is the company that owns Ringling, until this popped up, I guess, in a discussion with USA Today. There's not a lot of details, other than the fact that animals won't be part of the show anymore. But I'm sure the clowns, the daredevils, the trick riders, acrobats, trick riders on, I guess, motorcycles or bicycles instead of horses now. But hopefully a lot of the, you know, the pageantry, the music, the costumes, a lot of the stuff that made the circus can come back without the animals that, you know, were so controversial.
Yeah. This was actually brought to my attention from Matt, our publisher. He heard about it on the morning news.
Mm.
And then we reached out to Feld, and they gave us the statement that they are still in the planning phase for the relaunch of the show, which will not include animals, but that an official announcement will be made next year with an opening set for 2023. And then I found the USA Today article that basically went over a panel discussion that Feld Entertainment had. I'm not sure what the context of it was, but they also said similar statements.
Well, Feld's headquarters are here in Central Florida, so hopefully as they start putting that together, maybe they'll invite us out. We've been down there before. Maybe they'll let us get a little preview and see what the new version of the circus is going to be like.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's coming back for a new generation of kids so that, you know, that name doesn't get lost to history.
Yes. Carnival Cruise Line has officially become the first cruise brand to christen a ship since the industry restarted earlier this summer with Mardi Gras.
You know, I was actually a little confused by this because our publisher Matt and myself went out to the Mardi Gras when it launched back over the summer. And so I guess maybe that was like a soft launch. It had been doing journeys, voyages for several months. Matt did a 7-day on that. But I guess it was doing all that unchristened, which is that like, you know, in Catholicism, if a baby, you know, dies before they're christened, they're unbaptized, I guess they go straight to limbo instead of heaven. If a ship sinks or something bad happens when it's unchristened, what does that mean theologically? Someone who is into ship theology should please. I know John Self, he's a pastor, he's in our chat right now, but I don't know if he deals with the spirituality of cruise ships. Someone let us know. I'm actually kind of bummed because I had been out there to see, you know, the launch of this. I didn't go back out for the christening, but I could have gotten to see Shaq and Emeril. And Vanna White, I think, was there. Guy Fieri. It's like a who's who of, you know, of kind of cult icons of TV and entertainment. So
Kathy
I'm
Lee
kind
Gifford?
Of like, Kathy Lee. I mean, come on, that's a heck of a lineup. I'm curious, is there any footage? Do we know if the bottle breaking went successfully? Because I swear half the time when I see one of these ship christenings, it takes two or three whacks before they can get that champagne bottle to break.
We have footage of it, to my understanding. Oh, good. Or at least the naming ceremony.
Uh-huh.
The godmother of the ship, who is, she is Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think
from the Dominican Republic.
Yes. She smashes the bottle, but I've not watched it. So
good
check
for her.
That out. But there was a second line parade, which I love. So
yes.
I love
traditional New Orleans
culture.
Yep.
And they were all dressed up and everything. And there's like kind of a float thrown situation happening. It was very cool. So it's officially been christened, and it's the first one. I expect Disney Wish will be next. That's the only other cruise line I know of working on a new ship right now. Unless, I don't know, there's just one that's escaped my vision.
I actually think MSC might have a new one coming out soon. Though I'm not 100% sure if that's brand new or just a rebuild. I'll have to look that one up. But yeah, this is it's a big step for the industry to... You know, because, you know, the ships that are out right now are not really running at full capacity. So it's a sign of confidence in the future that they're, you know, launching a new ship at this time.
Yeah. Busch Gardens Tampa has announced their Christmastown offerings with the fact that it's returning earlier than ever. Seems to be a theme in Orlando and Central Florida theme parks. We're celebrating earlier than ever, everything.
Tomorrow's Halloween, the next day's Christmas. Sorry, Thanksgiving.
And a new Santa Claus experience will also be included.
Yeah, you know, all the SeaWorld parks, but especially Busch Gardens, are known for putting on a really kind of traditional Christmas celebration. I know one of the big highlights that I always love to see is their ice show, which will be coming back. And they also do a great kind of traditional nativity or Three Kings that often involves some live animals. So if you miss seeing live animals at the Ringling Brothers Circus, you might get to see some camels and sheep over at the Busch parks.
And as far as new offerings, they will have a new fireworks show called Holiday in the Sky, which starts on November 13th, and it happens on select event nights and every Saturday. Story time with Mrs. Claus, where she will share a song and story time situation with guests of all ages, but I assume it's mostly for children. And then Santa's North Pole experience, where elves will guide you to visit Santa in his workshop as he prepares for the big day.
I'm guessing that you will be able to take a selfie maybe with Santa at a slight distance, but you're probably not going to be able to sit on his lap and give him your list of presents. Not honestly, at this age, you probably shouldn't be sitting on Santa's lap, but, you know, social distancing and all.
You can just airdrop him your list.
No, because Santa is too smart to let everybody airdrop to him. He makes sure it's set only to people on his contact list. Otherwise, you get all sorts of stuff airdropped to you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Disneyland airdrop? Dangerous.
Queue lines at Halloween Horror Nights? Mm-mm-mm.
I can only imagine. They will also have some food and drink options like the mistletoe margarita, the apple brandy hot toddy, and the signature Christmastown hot chocolate, and new items like the maple bourbon pecan pie, which sounds amazing.
I'll have mine with extra bourbon, please.
And the smoked brisket tachos.
It's not a holiday without tachos now.
No. And of course, there's a sampler lanyard, like all of these holiday and foodie type events. An 8-punch lanyard starts at $45, which...
Yeah, those definitely are a good value. If you're going to eat more than 2 or 3 bites, you might as well get one of those because it'll save you money in the long run.
Yeah. Christmastown kicks off on November 12th and runs through January 2nd, but there is going to be a preview weekend for annual pass members on November 6th and 7th. And if you go to that, you can get exclusive access to the 2 p.m. Christmas on Ice performance. So,
nice.
Definitely check that out if you are a Busch Gardens Tampa Pass member. Tokyo Disney Resort has announced the opening date for the, prepare yourself, it's a mouthful, Tokyo Disney Resort Toy Story Hotel, which they've been working on. It's their first moderate level resort.
I feel like this has been under development forever. I mean, I can remember seeing plans for this years and years and years ago, and obviously COVID set the opening back a bit. So it's great to see that the Tokyo Disney Resort's recovered enough that they can open a whole new hotel.
Yes.
It's also nice that I might have a hotel I could actually afford to stay at, because this you know, it's obviously this is not the MiraCosta, you know, this is not, you know, staying right at the gates of Disney Sea, but it looks nicer to me than, you know, the pop hotels or the all-star hotels that we have here in Orlando.
Yeah. It opens on April 5th, 2022, and it is fully decked out in Toy Story, mm-hmm. like think Toy Story Land, but a hotel, mm-hmm. and you get to sleep in Andy's room, and there's puzzle pieces and board game motifs. The outside looks like Kinex, or yeah. like those blocks that you used in math class in elementary school.
Yeah.
And
very colorful,
yes.
big, bright, bold, you know, kind of simple lines, but really graphically appealing.
And they will also have some like 13 feet tall statues that look similar to the ones that are in Toy Story Land mm-hmm. of characters like Buzz and Jesse. And
I would
Lady
not
Dog.
Be shocked if they were cast from the same molds.
Yeah. the lobby itself has like kind of a racetrack game type feel. The ceiling looks like a board game. The floor looks like puzzles. The rooms literally look like Andy's bed and mm. the wallpaper from his bedroom. The giant Mickey Mouse clock thing, which I would have given anything for as a child to put in my room. And then there's also going to be a Lotso themed cafe, which sounds adorable, but also he's a bad guy.
And is everything going to smell like strawberries? That's what I'm worried about.
Everything has to be strawberry scented or else it's not authentic enough. And meet and greets, because I know that there's a costume. I want him to like come out and greet everyone while you're eating, but I'm sure that won't happen.
So basically, if you ever wanted to sleep overnight in the queue of Toy Story Mania, this is the place for you.
Yes. They also have two gift shops, a Disney-themed shop and a hotel-themed shop, mm-hmm. where you can find resort merchandise as well as hotel-exclusive stuff and your average sundries that you would need during your vacation. It is considered a moderate resort, and it has 595 rooms total, with 575 of those rooms being standard and 20 being superior.
Not sure exactly what makes them superior, but it's a fairly small hotel by Orlando standards.
Yes.
But I definitely will add some capacity for Tokyo. We'll have to put that on our maybe list for our trip out to Asia.
Yes. I figured because the Hilton is also like a good mm-hmm. moderately priced option. Usually just like the non-Disney hotels are
right.
the most affordable ones.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I think this will be definitely the most affordable of the Disney operated ones.
Yes. So very excited. This is all still concept art, as you can see. But I'm looking forward to actual photos of the place and what it looks like all built. We've got a ton of Disney Wish news from the mm-hmm. past week. The most exciting, I think, being that there will be an Oaken face character on the ship. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! he will be the host of Arendelle of Frozen Dining Adventure, the Frozen-themed dining offering aboard the ship. He will be catering the dinner with his hearty party planning service, is how I assume it should be said, with emphasis on the T's.
You know, they've announced a lot of really exciting new things that are going into the Disney Wish, especially stuff for kids.
Yeah.
These announcements about the main dining, they've really stepped up the entertainment value of the main dining rooms. You know, it kind of started back when they added the Animator's Palette stuff to the other ships. And they also have had some live entertainment in the Tiana restaurant that they have on the Wonder. This is kind of taking it to a whole new level where, you know, each meal is not just eating food, but it's like a whole dinner theater experience. I think that's the kind of thing that justifies, or at least helps justify, how much more Disney charges for their cruises compared to their competition in the same market. this is fun because this show is not just going to be a recycling of the plot of Frozen, but it looks like it is an original story that is set after Frozen 2, and you're going to be celebrating the engagement party of Queen Anna and Kristoff. And so in addition to Oaken, who's going to wander around the tables and kind of meet and greet with everyone table side, the thing I'm really excited about is that there is going to be an Olaf who is going to visit everyone, and he is going to have VIP transportation. Okay. They haven't said exactly what that means, but I am thinking something similar to the animatronic Remy that they used to have at the restaurant in the France Pavilion in Epcot that went on for several years, where they would have a cast member wheel around a little cart with an animatronic rat on it. So I'm hoping there's, you know, maybe someone has a wheelbarrow full of snow that they push around with a puppeteered or animatronic Olaf on it. I think that would be amazing.
What if they could figure out how to get his own personal flurry?
A little snow cloud to follow around. Yeah.
That would be, I just imagine something like the Broadway show where they have like a puppeteer and this really super articulate puppet. But I like that idea way more. This is also set up as a theater in the round kind of experience, which I've never been on a Disney cruise, so I don't know for sure. But I don't recall that being a thing for other dining experiences before.
No, you know, generally, you know, for things like an animator's palette, you just sort of have tables in blocks or clusters around the room, and then a lot of the focus is on the screens that are around the exterior walls. Instead, it looks like there's going to be a focal point with a round stage in the middle, and they're hopefully going to arrange the sight lines so that everyone has a good view of what's going on in the middle.
And the food also looks great, too.
It looks exquisite. I mean, it really, like, at least in terms of plating, that looks more like something that you would get at Palos or Remy's than what you would get in the main dining rooms on some of the other ships. They've got a seared sea bass topped with a giant scallop and free-range chicken with duck fat fries. Definitely sounds like they are trying to elevate the dining options.
And for all you veggies out there, there will be a plant-based selection.
Amen.
At both this and Worlds of Marvel as well.
But you know what? Here's a secret for you. If you are on a Disney cruise or honestly any cruise line, if you are a vegan, sometimes it's off menu, but ask for whatever the crew eats. Because most time the people who are working in the kitchen are Indian or Indonesian, and they are often Hindu and often vegan. So you can get some amazing, amazing curries and dals made with, like, you know, chickpeas and lentils. And if you just tell them that you are vegan and that you want some of what the crew eats, you will be fed very well.
Ooh, that's a good tip. And then for Worlds of Marvel, of course, Avengers Quantum Encounter. We've talked about it before. But we got the news this week that Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, Anthony Mackie as Captain America, and Evangeline Lilly as the Wasp will all appear in the dining experience in some capacity.
Yeah, it's pretty much a star-studded lineup. And they're going to be filming original footage. In fact, it sounds like they've already filmed a bunch of footage that's going to make it look like they are having a battle up on the deck of the ship while you are having dinner down below, and you'll get to see that. But apparently it was quite a project to be able to assemble these stars, to film these bits in different places and then assemble them all so it looks like these superheroes are right there on the ship with you.
If I had to take a guess, I would say that Anthony Mackie and Brie Larson filmed their stuff first because, I mean, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the Marvels have already completed production. Mm-hmm. And I would put money on Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly only have just done it because Quantumania is still in production right now.
That would make sense to piggyback the filming of this with the same way they were trying to, I think, piggyback the filming of the Guardians of the Galaxy ride with the third movie. Though I think that might have changed because of scheduling.
I think I saw someone post that they were filming for the ride, but they hadn't started production on the film yet.
Exactly. Yeah. They had to put it up, push it up. They were going to do it at the same time.
But during your experience, some bad stuff will happen. You know, Ultron is the villain of this dining experience. And
didn't we destroy him like at least twice?
Not
we keep getting rid of Ultron. He keeps coming back.
Not in the Marvel theme park universe.
That's correct. Yes. Where the snap never happened. It's all very complicated. It's the multiverse. Just accept it.
If you think about it too hard, it'll hurt. So don't. But this is really cool. James Spader will not be reprising his voice role as Ultron, though. Instead, they got Ross Marquand, who was Ultron in the What If series.
I thought he did a really good job in the cartoon of matching Spader's voice.
I just can't listen to Ultron and not think of The Office. I just can't. And then Carrie Condon will reprise her role as the voice of Friday, which if you've been to Avengers Campus, she is the AI assistant of the land, Stark Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then the menu is still in development, but they are trying to model the menu after various locales from the Marvel Cinematic Universe versus like food inspired by characters. So you can see Wakanda, Sokovia, New York City, China, California. I believe there is a UK-based dish inspired by Peggy Carter.
Peggy,
yes.
I think it is a figgy pudding, like a British-style dessert pudding.
I'm sure there will be some kind of shawarma dish on the menu to some degree. But I'm very excited to see this in person. They're promising a lot with this experience, and I just want to see it executed.
Yeah, I almost wish, you know, this is they do this so that you will pay the money to go on these cruises, but you know, we don't have dinner theater entertainment on Walt Disney World property right now. You know, the luau isn't happening, the Hoop to Do review isn't happening. I would love that kind of stuff to come back, and I would love for them to find a space for some new dinner theater in this style somewhere in the parks. Obviously, Marvel they can't do at Walt Disney World. And if you want a Star Wars dining experience, I guess you're going to have to shell out for the Galactic Star Cruiser. But I would love to see more, you know, dining theater entertainment experiences at Disney that are more than just a princess coming past your table and waving hello. You know, something that tells a story and makes you part of the action like this. I would love to see that come to the parks.
Same. Disney, if you're listening, that one's free. The next one will cost you. And moving on to Disneyland and the parade that just won't
God. I have celebrated the death and resurrection of the Main Street Electrical Parade more times than I have Jesus at Easter. And I mean, I am Jewish, so honestly, that's not too surprising. But how many times can we kill and then bring back the same parade? And more importantly, where is Paint the Night in all this? Because if we are bringing back the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is nearly as old as I am, maybe even a little older. I can't remember. What year did it start?
That is a great question.
Was it 75?
In the chat, if you know.
Yes, if you know the exact year. But, I mean, the Main Street Electrical Parade, for a while it was changed its name to the Disney Electrical Parade because it wasn't on Main Street anymore. It's gone from Disneyland to the Magic Kingdom. It was at Disney California Adventure for a while. It's gone into mothballs and then pulled back out, you know, more times than Michael Corleone. Every time it gets out, they pull it back in. But there's other really great parades that they have sitting in storage. Spectromagic, sadly, will never come back because that routed away to nothing. But they've got Paint the Night, and they've got this new Magic Happens parade, which only ran for a couple months,
barely even.
A couple weeks. all sitting there in storage, but they're teasing the return of the Main Street Electric. Now, we don't know where exactly it's going. As far as I know, they have not officially said which park it's going to or when. But, I mean, my guess is probably Disneyland, not Disney World. What do you think?
Disney, it's a, I look at the hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't say Disney World, it says hashtag Disneyland.
They did hashtag at Disneyland. All right. So there you go.
So, Michael said June 17th, 1972.
72. Wow, it is even older than I am. Whew.
How is it survived?
Thank you, Michael.
This long. I just it just baffles me that they had a multi-million dollar brand new parade that was incredible, and it ran for all of 2 weeks before the parks closed due to COVID. And instead of bringing back a daytime parade, they're bringing back this decrepit corpse to parade through the streets of Disneyland again.
I mean, the only rationale, I'm very supportive of the bringing back any kind of parade anywhere, because that kind of live entertainment definitely has been lacking. But why would you pick that particular parade? The only reason I can imagine is maybe it has lower labor costs than others. Maybe the other parades require more performers, more choreography, more rehearsal. And maybe that's a parade that is cheaper and easier to restage. I honestly wish I had a good answer. Maybe Bob Chapek is just really, really nostalgic for the Baroque hoedown music. God knows that stuff gets stuck inside your head.
I mean, it's certain that they're not doing this for the guests, because I mostly saw groans and eye rolls on social media.
To be fair, social media, the Disney Twitterverse, does not necessarily equal the average paying guest.
Yes.
And honest, you know, Disney social media will groan and eye roll over pretty much anything they announce, no matter what it is these days.
That's true.
You know, I think a nighttime parade's, you know, a reason to keep people in the parks. That's great. I just wish they were at Walt Disney World, because that's where we really need them right now.
Oh my God. Anything at Walt Disney World, seriously.
And think about this. Right now, at Disneyland, for annual pass holders at least, they're blocked out all the weekends and most weekdays, basically through the end of the year. You can't even buy a top-line annual pass. This is the kind of nostalgic thing that is basically built for annual pass holders, but they won't really be able to come in and see it. So I don't know how much attendance putting this into Disneyland would actually drive. I think at least at their current park pass reservations levels, at least with annual pass holders, they're almost maxed out. And I don't know what additional benefit this will really get them.
Yeah. And they haven't said when this will come back.
This is just a tease. So we can all debate it until they say something definitive.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just wait soon for them. I mean, they said that Captain America Zombie would come soon to the parties, and literally like 3 days later. Yeah.
Soon can be anything from 24 minutes to 24 hours to 24 years. You don't know. I'm still waiting for the, you know, Roger Rabbit and Dick Tracy rides that are coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios. I'm sorry, Disney's MGM Studios soon.
Oh,
I've been waiting on that since 1989, Mr. Eisner.
I think you'll be waiting forever. And then finishing up, we have a couple of, or at least one kind of speculative piece, just kind of discussing the recent Orange County announcement that they would be leaving their state of emergency due to COVID. Mm-hmm.
The good news is, you know, we had a really rough couple months here in Florida. We were doing great in the spring, and then through the summer we saw the, you know, basically some of the worst COVID numbers of the entire country. It was really pretty rough, and in response, a lot of the mask restrictions that were rescinded earlier came back. Here in Orange County, our mayor Jerry Demings has now lifted the mask restrictions on county property. Now that's just kind of like a recommendation to private businesses. Private businesses can still do what they want. And Walt Disney World is still continuing to mandate wearing face masks anytime you're indoors, if you're in queue for a ride, even if you're on a ride that's an outdoor ride, you're in proximity to other people, you're still wearing a face mask. SeaWorld and Universal have never reimposed that since it was lifted. It's unclear. Disney has not made any sort of announcement yet, but they're starting to bring back things. We're going to talk in a little minute about the princesses. They're back out, and the princesses are not wearing masks inside. Disney does have mandatory vaccinations for their cast members. That at least will hopefully protect cast members who are in situations in close proximity to guests if they start lifting this. But for right now, if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World next few weeks, you're still going to want to pack plenty of masks because for right now you still have to wear them. But it's interesting. Our positivity rate here in Florida, our number of people in the ICUs has dropped significantly in the last couple of weeks, and that's great news. I think our positivity rate's down below 3% again.
Well, that's good.
But the flip side of that is that comes in the wake of 60,000 Floridians dying from COVID, and a lot more people getting, very sick, and some of those people will probably have long-term, maybe even lifetime effects from it. So, that we can. I don't want to get into a big political debate over whether our governor did the right thing by refusing to let a lot of places do vaccine mandates or fighting against the cruise lines when they wanted to make sure everyone was tested. Right now the numbers are low, but this is cyclical. We saw this two, three times before. And there's a good possibility that we could be hit with another wave in a couple months. So, I'd keep packing those masks. The
Yes.
CDC says if even if you are fully vaccinated, if you are in close proximity and indoors with strangers, it's the best thing you can do is just wear that mask. It's annoying, but it's better than having COVID.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort? Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction.
Okay, I got thrown off because it's kind of like a two in one.
Yes. Two for the
But
price of one, double
two
your
for the
pleasure.
price of one. Meet and greets in a certain point of view have returned to Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World.
Yes, Obi-Wan, from a certain point of view. What are we calling these? Are these encounter these sightings? Is that the technical term?
Sightings.
Quote unquote sightings. So, yes, once again, characters are appearing at indoor locations at Walt Disney World. So that's a huge step forward. For the past year and a half, places like Town Square Theater in Magic Kingdom or the Princess Fairy Tale Hall have been totally closed off. Now the doors are open again, and you can wait to go inside and meet a character, but it's not quite the same as before. First of all, no hugs,
Yep.
no autographs,
Nope.
and no photo pass. You're going to get to go into a room, and you're going to have a little velvet rope, a little VIP barrier separating you from the character. So you'll be able to chat, you'll be able to wave, you'll be able to take your own selfie from a little bit of a distance. Basically, you can have a character photobomb you.
Yeah.
it is a step forward. The character encounters were one of the last huge major components of Disney World experience that was missing. So this is another step back towards normality.
Yeah. You also can't take your mask off.
No.
For the photos.
But the character can.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It would be kind of take you out of the fantasy if you saw Mickey Mouse.
Okay. I don't need, Mickey Mouse is already wearing a mask. I hate to tell you, but that's a friend of Mickey. That's not really a mouse. But you know, this reignites a whole debate that we had, you know, year ago over the princesses and Disney's steadfast refusal to allow the princesses to wear face masks of any kind. They have, you know, for whatever reason, they have maintained that the princesses live in a fantasy world where COVID does not exist and they simply will not wear masks. Even though, you know, they could have gotten a good designer, created pretty masks that matched their costumes and sort of, you know, modeled positive behavior for kids. No, you're not going to see Tiana or Rapunzel with a mask on. But you will be wearing a mask in your photos. So, I don't know, maybe you can Photoshop your mask out later. Or you could Photoshop a mask onto the princess later.
People are really talented with Photoshop. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't post that on Reddit and ask people to do it for you, though, because that goes badly.
No. For now, it's just Mickey over at the Town Square Theater. No Tinkerbell over there for now.
Not yet.
And at Princess Fairytale Hall, it is only Tiana and Rapunzel.
Yeah. We haven't also seen, indoor locations the Adventure Outpost over in Animal Kingdom. That's not back yet, along with anything in Disneyland. Disneyland is still kind of doing their free-range characters where they roam around in the grassy areas and wave at you, which I really like. And I hope all kind of sticks around in some form. But if you are interested in standing in a queue, that kind of brings us to our next point, which is in addition to these outdoor locations, they're also sort of testing queuing people for outdoor meet and greets. This was something that for many months they've had characters making cavalcade appearances and random outdoor appearances, but you never really knew where or when because it was never publicized, it was never on the schedule, it wasn't in the app. And it still isn't really in the app, but I think enough people caught on that you would see these like mobs of people waiting, to swarm one of these appearances. And I guess it just got too much and they figured they've got to organize it somehow. Yeah. But I did kind of miss where, you know, there were times where you would just sort of have a character, standing out an outdoor location, a little off the pathway, so you couldn't get right up close to them. But you could just sort of walk up in their vicinity and take a picture without standing in a line. And I kind of missed that.
Something similar happened when I went to Oogie Boogie a couple weeks ago, specifically with Zombie Cap. They did not have him on the schedule, but someone knew his schedule and told us about it. And everyone was just kind of crowded around that door that the heroes come out of in the big ride show building that's empty.
Someday.
And he like did this descent thing where he started at the top floor where the Quinjet is and would go down each floor before coming out through the front. And as soon as he came out, it was like a mob just immediately slammed next to the building and formed a queue. And their character attendants had to cycle people through the line instead of it being kind of like a surprise and delight situation.
I almost think they're kind of in a no-win situation because on the one hand, if you publicize it, you tell people exactly where and what time, then you get people camping out forming these big lines. But then if you don't publicize it and then it becomes a word of mouth thing, then it's only the people with the insider knowledge and they wind up having an advantage over your average guest. So yeah, it's tough. I kind of fall on the side of I wish they'd expose as much information in the app or on their online schedule as possible. Give people all the information and let them decide what they want to spend their time on. But there is something to be said about, you know, it is pretty magical when you're just walking along and all of a sudden a character unexpectedly pops up out of nowhere and you have that chance to have that brief moment. But usually it is brief because 10 seconds later they get swarmed.
Yeah. For now, it's just the Elsa and Anna Royal Summer Goose location testing this. But as for other character locations in the parks, excluding Magic Kingdom, as far as we know, hasn't happened yet. They've also got Lightning Lane signs up at select character meet and greet locations, but they're not using it yet.
Not yet. Eventually, I guess that will probably be added to the Genie Plus lineup. And that should help you get a little more value out of Genie Plus if you're purchasing it.
Yeah.
But right now, just the one standby line only.
What would you do if they made it Lightning Lane? Like, you could pay $3 to go visit.
Oh, you mean individual Lightning Lane?
Yeah, individual Lightning Lane.
Yeah, I personally, I've had enough pictures with princesses to last me a while. And honestly, you know, usually I'm there just as a solo adult male. Kind of creepy to be waiting in a line for the princesses or stuff, you know. It's a little awkward. So I would probably save my Lightning Lane cash for a different experience.
I wish that they would do kind of a mix of both this and like the Pooh Bear catching butterflies within hills of Epcot.
It was so wonderful. I got to see last time I was out in Disneyland, they were sort of in some of those grassy areas around the hub. And just, you know, it's just playful. You know, you get to have these little moments of interaction that's more than just here, sign my autograph book or take a picture. I really love that.
There has to be some kind of happy medium where we could have both in a perfect world. John said we call character breakfast as lightning lanes for characters. Honestly, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, knock out as many characters as you can and be efficient, get a meal in at the same time. Character meal's the way to go.
Yep.
But they're not cheap.
No, certainly not. Yep. But that is everything that we had to talk about this week.
That's everything. And we came in well under an hour. Excellent. You have time to go to Arrakis.
And before I head off into the hills of Dune, we have some listener thank yous to share. So this week, a big major applause and snaps go to Caitlin Wyatt and Jeff Stahl for supporting us and Attractions Magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you want a shout out on the podcast, you can head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store and choose one of the subscription tiers. And if you choose Club or VIP, you get a shout out the week after you join.
And speaking of shout outs, I want to give it one last shout out to our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Thank you so much for your support. And if you want to support us yourself, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Please give us a review. And please share the good word about Attractions Magazine and our podcast with all of your friends or enemies even. And if you want to find more from us throughout the week, you can find me at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at @theUGSeries, or on Instagram at @theunofficialguides. And Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and of course, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with us for the past hour and a little bit. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.